right, that motion, amendment passes. Any other amendments? All right, let's have a vote on the motion as amended. Are we ready?
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
No.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller?
Yes. All right, another public hearing item, 11B, resolution number 04-25-1932 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the FY 2026 sales tax free days. I will ask for an administrative.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Make sure I got the right item this time. The Assembly passed Ordinance 1068, which required the Chamber to bring forward the sales tax free days that were proposed for the next fiscal year, which is great because we're going through budget and it certainly does have budget implications on our sales tax revenue. Those dates that have been proposed are Saturday, October 6, 2025, and Saturday, May 2, 2026. And so those are the two dates being proposed. The Borough Finance Department feels that we're fine and it's something we can do. So. We would recommend approval of those days for sales tax free days.
Okay, thank you. I'll open it up to public testimony. Is there any public testimony on the two sales tax free days? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and wait for a motion.
Move to approve resolution 04-25-1932.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Assemblymember Mock. Any discussion or questions? Assemblymember Powell.
Okay, so Jackson, you're on.
Finance director.
Okay. So my question is, because we've had meetings over this before, and what I do not want to see is us start to raise our millage rate or anything like that. I want to know how much money it cost us to have a tax-free day.
I'm going to steal your question. You can go ahead if you like.
Sorry, I interrupt you, Mason.
No, you're okay if you'd like.
I think that number would be nearly impossible to quantify without some serious time involved. I don't think we have the resources to do that. I mean, my thought behind it, and I agree with you with the millage and such, but I think it's important for the community to get out and support the local businesses. I think they're two biggest days of the year. And I think that the city is in a position to do this, but we've thought about being able to quantify this before, and I haven't found a good way to do that. If Mason has any ideas, I am all ears.
Thanks, Jackson. So we did try to kind of quantify it at one point in time last time we addressed it, and I think it was about the time that we passed Ordinance 1068. You know, rough guess is about between $20,000 and $30,000 what we lose in a sales tax free day. Again, sales tax free days only apply to in-town sales, so it's not like, you know, Amazon Web Services gets, you know, a sales tax free day. Those things will still apply. The whole point of the thing is to try to stimulate sales to the local economy. So that is something I would mention. I would also say that I believe we checked the cruise ship calendar, and that's we're trying to avoid days where there's out of town folks coming in because we obviously want to tax them and not our own residents. So.
Okay. Assemblymember DeBoer.
Just bringing this back to the table again, since we're kind of on this topic, so I'd really like us to look, and I know it's got to go to a vote, but it's some type of a seasonal sales tax where we're hitting more of the tourist in the summer and the locals kind of get a little break in the winter, similar to what we've just done with ports and harbors and seasonal rates. So Ketchikan did it. It's just something for us to kind of keep in the back of our mind and hopefully it would yield us more than 20 or 30 grand that we forfeit for our local people.
Okay, thank you.
Just in response to that, Madam Mayor, so one of the things, you know, the problem with seasonal sales tax rates is you don't have a big enough tax base to really take advantage in the season where you have visitors. I mean, we do have 40,000 visitors scheduled to Wrangell this summer. but it ain't the 1.8 million that Ketchikan has.
True.
And it's not the 700,000 that Sitka had last year. It's not the nearly 1.8 from Juneau. So that's where they really make it up. And so I don't think our economy is a place where we could probably pull that off.
Okay.
But I do we do have a sales tax ordinance that's going to be presented to the assembly next meeting. And that's one of our 8 ordinances. And it's following some of the policies that we talked about on cruise ships related to marine fabrication and extending the cap like Petersburg tried to do. So,
and that's coming from our finance committee. Presented to us. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members to board?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And our last public hearing item, C, ordinance number 1075 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections of multiple chapters in Title 14. Port facilities for the purpose of updating Title 14 of the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll entertain a short administrative report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I know that our court director's here too. You can speak to any questions you guys have. This is the second reading of the ordinance. I'd really like to thank the Port Commission for spending a lot of time on this. It may to the Assembly seem like a housekeeping item. It's really not. They were really intentional about the language they used. They gave the Harbor Master more authority in some certain cases, and that's really a beneficial thing as we navigate some challenging circumstances and a wide range of them. So, Steve, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
Steve Miller, Port Director. Madam Mayor wanted a couple of definitions added, and those were put into this version, so I hope that made it to everybody's table.
Yes. And the definitions I wanted added was Myers-Chuck Harbor and the 6-mile potential port.
Yes.
Locations. And those have been added. A lot of work on this.
Yes.
That you and your port commission and team did.
Correct.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, I'm going to open it up now to public testimony. I have to remember my sequence here. Is there any public testimony on Title 14, Ports and Harbor Code? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1075.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Robbins, second by Dalrymple. Any comments, questions, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay, under unfinished business, we're going back to 6E, core permit application notice for Philip Mock, commercial storage services on Samovia Highway. I need a motion to accept the core permit application notice.
Make a motion to accept the core
permit application notice for Philip Mock. Okay, and second?
Second.
Okay, so motion by Dalrymple, second by Powell. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Audison? Sorry.
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right. Under new business, item 13A, Assembly, we're on page 247. Approval of sublease agreement for Marine Service Center lot number 4 between Steve Keller, doing business as Keller Marine, sublandlord, and Jared Gross, doing business as JG Marine. Subtenant.
Move to approve a sublease agreement for Marine Service Center lot number 4 between Steve Keller, DBA Keller Marine, sublandlord, and Jared Gross, DBA JG Marine, subtenant.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robbins, second by Powell. Mr. Keller, would you like to testify on this?
Steve Keller, 1.5 miles of Mobile Highway.
owner of Keller Marine with my wife. And we entered into a contract with Jared, being how I just retired, yay. And anyway, we were carrying the contract over 4 years for him, so he didn't have to go and put a big output of money to get a loan and everything, trying to help him become successful. And but we still own the buildings that are on the lease, so we wanted to keep control of the lease until the 4 years is up and the contract is complete. And then he'd apply for the lease in his own name. And we're just, like I say, trying to help him out, young guy getting into business, and just trying to help him become successful. And we're kind of aging out there on the port facility. A lot of the workers are aging, and I think this would probably be the first one with the sublease, and I know there's some other guys looking at retiring soon, and so they're interested in possibly doing the same same process to help somebody else get into business and keep the port facility going, because it's a great concern for the city and borough. Thank you.
Thank you. And I attended that port commission when this was proposed, and the port commission agreed, and I think this is a really good idea. Any questions or comments, Assembly?
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to thank Steve for his craftsmanship over the years, and I often heard from the yard. I know he fixed the bulb off the Pacific Sea when it got ripped off when I was on it, and just the kind of a staple of the yard, and it's really great that I think you're passing the torch in a way that helps the young guy get into business, and hopefully we see more of that. So thanks to you and Helen.
And he took good care of the Patty O'Brien. Painted her bottom and zinced her up. So, thank you. All right. Roll call, please.
Assembly members, Audison, and I muted you because I heard some discussion, so hopefully you're not muted. There we go. Audison?
Yes.
Thank you. Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13B, page 268, acknowledge receipt of the fiscal year 2024 audited financial statements.
Move to acknowledge the receipt of audited financials.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Anyone have any questions on the financial audits? Borough manager, tell us about the finding we had.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Good success in filing the audit on time. Thank you to Jackson and Robbie for getting that across the line, the whole finance department. It's, you know, I think the auditors have seen an increased workload over the last few years, taking on too many clients. So it's always a success in itself to get past the filing deadline. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You know, we're going to have a presentation on the overall audit in a meeting in May. We're not going to do a work session on it. I don't think the Assembly enjoys the hour-long audit work session. So we're going to do a 15-minute version. But I will speak to the one finding. Really kind of it's a significant deficiency was what they call it for journal entry review and approval. There was a time when I was the only person that they deemed as capable in doing journal entries, and I was also approving them at those time. Of course, when we brought on a finance director, they were reviewing those entries that were booked. And prior to that, we had sufficient review and approval. So there's just a window in there where I was in that moment in time, I was booking the entry, but once we had a new professional, they retroactively reviewed all that. That was the whole point in the first place. Now that we're fully staffed, we don't see it to be an issue moving forward. And you know, findings are like kind of cavities. They're nothing with the actual financial statements themselves or the numbers. So in the past, there was a lot for the borough in that regard. So we're moving forward. At one point in time, I think when we inherited the finance department, we had eight. So,
correct.
And those were related to the numbers, and it's a good show of progress in itself to be down to just one rather immaterial significant deficiency. So Petersburg got one too, so it's not out of the character. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but it's not abnormal. Jay Sweeney was the finance director in Sitka for a long time. He only had 1 year where he had no findings, so it's normal.
Next year. Findings.
No findings.
A goal. All right. Any questions? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer? Schwartz.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Audison.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Page 396, Assembly. Item C, resolution number 04-25-1934 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the creation of the cruise ship facility security officer temporary position and amending the non-union wage and grade table.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1934.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Explanation on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I got some good questions on this yesterday from Assembly members. We haven't had a security officer listed on the wage and grade table, which is really improper practice. However, we've had those positions for a long time since we've been having cruise ships at our port here in Wrangell. So we found it appropriate to actually put the position on the temporary wage and grade table. For a little bit of context, these are the people in charge on cruise ship days, verifying identification, ensuring that the port's secure, and worked with the harbor master directly over the summer months. This isn't something that's a full-time thing. It's just based off the need and how many cruise ships we have.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Do you have anything to add?
Harbor master?
Well, and they're required for all Solus ships and any ships with passengers over 500. So it's a requirement for us to have them.
Okay.
We just can't fill the positions with our normal work staff either. So just for context.
And Steve, what's described as Solus ship?
Solus is basically it's a ship that is not American. So like American Cruise Lines, we don't have to supply security for them. We just put a barricade up and there people can come and go all they want. As soon as it's a foreign ship, though, and meets the requirements, then we have to provide security for them.
And
that's why we charge $600 per ship for the security as well. Because there's a lot more to the security than just putting that person on station. There's a lot of stuff that I have to do with the Coast Guard and Marine Exchange and, you know, in keeping compliant with that. So.
Okay. Any questions for the Harbor Master? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, page 401, resolution number 04-25-1935 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the participation in the Alaska Public Insurance Alliance Joint Insurance Agreement.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1935.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Mock. Yeah, and explain this to us.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll just kind of explain it, and if Jackson has any gaps to fill, he'd be invited to do so. So essentially, our insurance provider, our main insurance provider, Alaska Public Entity Insurance, that pool merged with AMLJIA,
mm-hmm.
Which stands for Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Association. That is now APRA, the Alaska Public Risk Alliance. And as a result, this is more of a formality because we would go to either of these parties for most of our insurance. And so we're just joining the pool with the rest of them. Now, the mayor asked a really good question as it relates to the pool. She asked, well, if some event happens up north, in Anchorage, and does that affect the pool? And my understanding is yes, it does. It's not based on a regional basis. The pool is statewide. And we'll get a better answer to that question, but that's not necessarily something that we want or desire. It's kind of something, the matter of circumstances and the players in the game. So we will subscribe to APRA.
Assembly member Mock.
Thank you. Are they the only player in the game?
For Alaska Municipal Insurance Entities, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
In fact, I don't know of a municipality that's not a part of one of the entities.
Yeah. We used to, when they were separate, we could bounce off one or the other and see where we get the best premium rate. But
not anymore.
So, any questions or comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 423, ordinance number 1076 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.10.035, purchases and sales, and section 5.10.062, disposition of personal property for economic development purposes, to update the municipal code for consistency and based in part upon the recommendation and legal opinion of the borough attorney that sections of 5.10.035 and section 5.10.062 are unconstitutional and not legally enforceable.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 1076. Move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on May 13th, 2025.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. And administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Rather simple for this one. This kind of mirrors ordinance 1071 and 1072, except that this is for personal property. Unconstitutional to take a vote of people for any threshold, a dollar value of sale. And so we're stripping that out of Title V. Nothing really much more to say to that. Legal opinion is that it's unconstitutional. We should remove it from our code.
And there may be other incidences where we have to remove this language from other sections of the code. All right. Any Assembly Member Robbins?
Yeah, the recommended motion said that the next public hearing would be May 13th, but I believe Borough Manager said there was going to be a... Or is that a different meeting? Rescheduled.
So it's still going to be on May 13th.
Okay.
Yep. This will join the 8 other ordinances. Yes.
All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mom?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
The board?
Yes.
Yes. Item 13F, page 429, Aldertop. Resolution number 04-25-1937 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land on the public surplus website in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code, Chapter 16.12, specifically lots 2 through lots 22, excluding lot 10, Shoemaker Bay Subdivision 2, Wrangell Recording District.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1937.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. And we just had a workshop on this, Borough Manager.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's awfully good. We just commissioned our water treatment plant. We're rolling into the next big milestone. Should get a really cool resolution number that will take 1937. It's been a 30-year pursuit, getting Aldertop, our former institute property out to sale. This is the very first big step in doing that. This will effectively list the properties on July 1st for public auction, all 20 lots. That's lots 2 through 9 and 11 through 22. You'll be able to find our preliminary plat that identifies these lots on our website. We'll also have an abundance of materials and a robust marketing campaign that our economic development director will be unleashing in the month of June. And we'll be getting the word out as best we can, but this will be a public auction. The Assembly will consider potential financing of these lots in the next meeting on May 13th. The fair market values have been provided by the appraiser, although that appraisal was done in 2023, so it is a bit outdated. However, it does not preclude you guys from passing that tonight. The overall sales prices, or the listing prices, can be amended on a future resolution if the Assembly would like to get another appraisal.
All right. Assembly, any questions, comments? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, just a comment. I'd like to move forward with this with the acknowledgement that we would revisit the appraisal price in the future.
Do I see agreement on revisiting an appraisal price? Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Nope. July 1st, public auction to close on September 29th.
Okay. and road and utilities will be worked on this summer, correct?
Yep, so our roads and utility bid solicitation just went out. We'll have a bid opening on May 7th. We'll be eagerly awaiting that. Engineer's estimate was $1.9 million. Hopefully we come in under. We got some competition here in town, so I'm crossing my fingers. Should have a contract award on May 13th. Notice to proceed at the end of May. Marketing, construction starts, and then the auction period of the 1st through of July to September 29th. Construction completion and then conveyance.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members, Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. That's good. Okay, item 13G, page 450, resolution number 04-25-1938 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting the Memorandum of Understanding between the Wrangell Public School District and the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1938.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Robin, second by Powell. And this is another long-awaited MOU that we've talked about for years. And please explain, Borough Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So definitely a great step in the right direction with our partnership with the schools. We've talked robustly about capital policy between the two entities. Obviously, there's a state statute 14.14.060F, which describes the borough's responsibility to take care of borough buildings, and the schools are part of that. So school facilities are our obligation as it relates to major maintenance, major repairs, capital projects, extension of facilities. Those could be things like roofs, HVACs, electrical upgrades, parking lot extensions, those types of things. And the problem with the state statute is they don't clarify, you know, at which threshold does it become capital, and that's going to be dependent on any municipality, which begs the question we need, or begs the need for a memorandum of understanding between the two entities. So I met with the superintendent about Thursday last week, and we discussed the policy. So we're going to set the threshold at $25,000, which is the point at which you have to file for a Department of Labor number. You have to be subject to the prevailing wage requirements, and it requires a degree of sophistication that our staff's able to handle, and not saying that they can't, but that's what we're used to, and we plan on making good on that. So anything over $25,000 in the aggregate will be pursued by the borough. We're going to ask for their engagement, partnership throughout the construction activities or major maintenance, but this is not saying that if I do, you know, $22,000 paint jobs throughout the year that we're going to get reimbursed the school district. A specific task or activity as it relates to it. So I think the MOU is pretty specific and, and explains all the high points, but if you guys have any questions, I think this will provide clarity in the future.
Okay, any questions or comments? Assembly Member Robbins?
Not a question, just a comment. I'm really excited to see this. Yes. This is something I've been pressing for quite some time, so thank you for bringing this to us.
Yeah, it spells it all out. Mm-hmm.
Yes, black and white.
Yes. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Member Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13H, page 458. I'm very excited about this. Approval of the Wrangell Emergency Operations Plan.
Move to approve the Wrangell Emergency Operations Plan.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. You got it over the line here.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Another big assembly goal from last time we set goals was getting the EOP rewritten. This was really the impetus of this was the Wrangell 2023 landslide. And while we responded, I think, in a really great fashion and to great success, it would still have been nice to have an updated EOP, and we don't know what the next circumstances are going to be in the case of emergency, and so we want to be prepared for everything. This supplies checklists, procedures, annexes for each type of disaster characteristic to our region. There's a landslide annex in here. There's flooding, tsunami, earthquake, all the procedures are outlined. And so it's really a checklist and a backstop in the event that either administration panics or there's new players in the game that aren't familiar with our processes, as we will go through in our triannual drill here in the next week. But it is a good backstop and making sure that we catch everything and we're doing all the right things. And you might respond perfectly but forget to send out a public notice, or you might not have the templates for the public notices, or you might not have the equipment stored in the right location, and this puts everything in an organized fashion in a response. So I appreciate Katmai Solutions doing all the work. It's over 130 pages.
Right.
And to some degree, you know, we're not going to use all 130 pages all the time. But when you do have to, it'll be very, very valued. But we did get a designated legislative grant for over $9,000 from Senator Stedman. Appreciate his appropriation towards this EOP. The overall contract was $35,000. We also had another $15,000 contract for the hazard mitigation plan, which they're going to get to work on immediately. So we'll see that hazard mitigation plan rewritten here over the next 6 months, and we'll get a recertification, which is required by 2026. So FEMA will be happy to hear that, and I just thank Fire Chief, Public Police Chief for being involved in the process, our new EMS Administrator, Ann Allen, involved in the process. And you're going to see modifications of this thing as we go along. There's going to be appendixes, there's going to be phone numbers that we put in here, so it won't be the last time you see it, but it's here and it's done.
And it's a living document meant to be updated. So, and a lot of people involved. It's Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I'm really glad to see this. That's kind of a very, to me, the landslide is still pretty fresh in my mind and stuff. But we had another incident last summer with a fire that was across the way that smoked out my house pretty good. And we did meet with the Forest Service. I was quite disappointed in both their response and their concerns. But I think it's in there, Mason, but in under wildfire, page 587, preparation actions, it says collaborate with the Forest Service to assess fire risk. Is that a to-do list for us to work with them? Because when we got into that, we realized how dated their fire response
is
from the last century.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of opportunity here to integrate with them too, for shared resources and training and stuff like that. So I hope this is the spot that says we're going to hopefully bring them to work with us on this. So the words are there.
Thank you, Assembly Member Dalrymple. Very fitting from a former district ranger, and I almost projected you were going to ask that question. Actually, our chief, Buness, brought this up in the last-minute revisions. We did put this checklist in here based off a collaborative exercise between the two bodies, just based off our experience with the Wernofsky fire that occurred.
Yeah. Thank you. And one other, I guess it would be a... you call these categories, but the landslide category, that again I think is an opportunity to work more with the Forest Service, and the reason I say that is that these landslides are starting on the National Forest 100%, and they will continue. So I think we would really want them fully engaged with whatever we're worried about with those landslides, and in my mind they should take some responsibility. So.
Agreed, or give us the land.
I don't know if you want that landslide lit. But yes, again, I think this is good. I think those lists in there are good openings for continued work.
And we still are seeking a good, strong partnership with the Forest Service.
Absolutely, Madam Mayor. The other thing I'd point out is this does have an emergency alert system component to it, which is really important to us, getting the word throughout NCSL how we use NCSL. So there's prescribed procedures in there that the clerk and I will familiarize ourselves with. There's also going to be a quick reference guide that they have not produced yet. You won't need to adopt it, but that's kind of, if you remember when you're in school, on the wall, there's like a quick reference guide in a disaster. Those got the phone numbers. That's got the EOC for the state and Mr. Roberts' number and everybody on there. So those are like the first few hours response and what to do, and then you pull out this document once you set up the EOC, do a check, make sure you've done everything, and so that'll be forthcoming as well.
Yeah. an inventory of all of our equipment.
So at this point, we've done the EOP, we've procured new equipment and communications for search and rescue services.
Right. Beefed that up.
We beefed that up significantly. We've got more volunteers on staff now. And I think we've done the community great justice in the arena of public safety.
And we were always worried about our volunteer fire department losing personnel, but we're gaining personnel. So, and you saw that in the fire department report. All right, any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymember Stavronville?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13I, this is on page 599. Approval of a memorandum of understanding between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce.
Move to approve the memorandum of understanding between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce.
Second. Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate Mr. Kahn's remarks tonight, and we're really happy to usher in a new era with the Chamber. There's been new leadership there. We welcomed them in, or we will be, into the Nolan Center. I think there's a lot of synergies between the two entities and a lot of partnership opportunities to expand economic development here. I'm going to pass this on to Kate.
Okay.
Work on it.
Okay, thank you.
Kate Thomas, Economic Development Director.
Yes, appreciate that, Madam Mayor. So I've been working diligently with Jeannie Arnold, Director of the Nolan Center, and Tracy Martin, Executive Director of the Chamber, along with members of the Chamber Board over the last 6 weeks. We initially started with a facility use agreement between our two entities and ultimately felt that a memorandum of understanding would be appropriate to come before you in advance of approving the facility use agreement. So it details the philosophical relationship and broader goals and objectives of our two entities and the mission that we provide to our members and the general public. So we have both documents before you. Tracy and Jeannie would be here, but they are on personal time off island right now. So Ed's graciously,
with me.
Ed's graciously stepped in, and Ed's also with the WCA Tourism Division. So it's brought a lot of value for the Chamber, WCA, and the municipality to engage more frequently. And I can say that since Tracy started in her new role at the Chamber, she's been at almost every public meeting that I have been to, and I go to a lot. So I'm glad to have Tracy engaged and got to meet with the board last week, and they're very excited about the opportunity, and we're already working on some joint goals and actions that will bring immediate value following the relocation. So
thank you. Any comments or questions, Assembly? Okay, hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item J, page 604. This is the approval of a facility use agreement between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce.
Move to approve the facility use agreement between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mock, second by Powell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a quick overview, I'll get the Kate, but this is basically just the document that's going to outline the terms and conditions of the shared space of the Nolan Center.
Right.
That'll work. If they're messy or taking too much up space, we're going to kick them out, and that's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Facetious, but Kate's going to explain a little bit further.
Awesome, thank you. So as you know, the Marketing and Community Development Coordinator resides in the Nolan Center. They're in the front visitor space that also serves as their office. So the Chamber will be relocated there. There won't be any amendments or alterations of the facility as it is right now. We've found a floor plan that works well for the Chamber's needs while maintaining our current footprint in there. And it will also allow the Nolan Center to continue renting that area of their facility for public use over the weekend. As an example, during the month of April, they have tax accountants and service folks there to help support community members during tax season, and we want to make sure that that's still available. Those of you who have worked with me before know I like policy and structure, so we put a lot of detail in place related to the facility use agreement because everything looks well and fine and it's kumbaya while Tracy and I are in leadership, but personalities and conditions and circumstances change, so we wanted to make sure that the facility use agreement accounted for all of those things. So this is one that we really took a lot of time in detailing out and considering the different scenarios. And we will be meeting quarterly with the chamber and biannually between our two boards just to provide an update. And we've basically come to the conclusion that if we see it and we think something's funny, call it out, have a conversation, get to some conflict resolution right away so that we can continue focusing on the value that our two entities want to bring the community and the members. So that's my 2 cents on the facility use agreement.
Thank you. Any comments or questions, Assemblymember Powell?
I have a problem with this. I think this is very dangerous, and I'll tell you why. I think that you said it already, Kate, that personalities change. People change jobs. People change who's on the chamber. There's just a lot of change here, and also I have a problem with putting a nonprofit organization into a paid facility. I want, if we pass this, I would like to have like quarterly reports see that shows how this is actually going through both from both parties. I don't want to hear about it 6 months later that this was a terrible thing that happened, and you know the city is spending a lot of time on chamber business. I'm not totally against it. I'm just very nervous about it. I just too many times I've been a chamber member for as long as I can remember. We're a platinum chamber member. I support the chamber 100%. But I've seen it go up and down way too many times to the chamber in a lot of instances, and I just don't know if it's a good fit for the city to put a nonprofit into our organization. I know, like you say, Jeannie, I get along with Jeannie and Tracy quite well. I just don't know if everybody's getting along and kumbaya all the time. It's very dangerous situation for this to look at this. I would want some assurances within, I don't know if it's quarterly or 6 months from now and a year later, to make sure this is all actually going the way it's planned. And then if it's not, I just like you said, I want someone to come up and tell us, this is not the way it's was intended and we need to look at it. I don't want to be 3 years down the road and everybody pissed off at everybody, and this is, I just don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not funded. We're giving away a space that is not funded, so I kind of have a problem with that. I mean, are we going to have another nonprofit organization come to us later on and say, hey, you know, you got them in there, can we use the other room over here? I don't know what we're going to do if we say that. I think we have another one in there right now. The arts department, I think, is in there.
The art gallery.
Yeah, art gallery. Art gallery.
So now that we're going to have two in that same facility. I'm just really nervous about it, and that's just my 2 cents.
Okay. Yep. Very honest. Any other comments or questions? Are we ready to vote? This is the facility use agreement. Yes, Assemblymember Mock.
So I agree with a lot of things you're saying, Dave. How would you move forward with what's currently written with all those things in mind? Because I think there's some very valid points there. You know, there is a part in here that says that, you know, the borough can cut them off whenever we see fit, which is, okay, maybe not supposed to be said that way, but it there is that in there in case it goes bad, right?
Through the chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's why I'm asking for a report, you know, either quarterly or every 6 months or, you know, like that. I would like to see that somewhere in this where we actually, the assembly hears from both entities that, Everything is going great. That's what I'd like some kind of input there. The only thing I was going to ask for this, but I know Kate spends a lot of time on these things, and it's a really great, I read the whole thing like 5 times, okay? And be honest with you, if you're looking at anything that I could find a flaw in, you did a great job on it.
Thank you.
And I don't look just for flaws. I mean, I look for the other stuff too. But I was going to ask for a joint work session between the assembly and the chamber and with you, but I couldn't find anything where we really needed that other than having some kind of report to us quarterly or half year. I mean, I'd like to, I guess I could amend the motion to have a quarterly report to us from both entities.
May I, Madam Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
So I did have some concerns initially just with, so there's layers to the relationship. There's the philosophical, this is how we do business and how our shared values work together to bring economic benefit to the community. And then there's the actual partnership and how we do that together. And then there's the shared space. And that is when it gets serious because it's modern day marriage. You're becoming roommates, basically. There's a lot of things you got to work out together. What you're eating for lunch smells bad and it's in my office space and I don't like it. You know, small things like that to actually big things where, you know, there's a perception now that we're in the same space that we get to dictate each other's policies or our goals or our operation plans. So I had some of those concerns and have been pretty transparent with the executive director and the board. And last week when I was asked how I view the day-to-day operations, like what is that really going to look like? My response was, our entities will still remain very separate. We will have to conduct our business as if we are two separate divisions in that space while communicating with one another, you know, what our general schedule is, so we don't step on each other's toes and things of that nature. And I would imagine I'll be seeing Tracy almost daily and that we'll be meeting regularly with the board and then having those joint work sessions for other goals and actions. We did, Dave, have a joint work session between the chamber, the CVB, and the EDB last month to review the facility use agreement, and then that spurred us towards the direction of having an MOU in place in advance of that. And then the next step is to get our annual work plan or actionable goals together, which we don't need to approve and formalize, but that will kind of help keep us on track. But everyone is aware of the concerns that you shared. We've talked about those openly between our two groups. And that's why I went to present to the board and wanted to host that joint work session, that this didn't get formulated by Mason and I and the executive director, but that everybody knew what was going on. And anyone that comes into a new board position should be briefed on what the relationship looks like and what the goals are and where the division of power and separation is. So we're doing what we can. I do think this has the potential to bring a lot of immediate value to the business community. The chamber can do things that we just can't do. And by being in a similar shared space, we just have better communication and better understanding of what each other's working on. But we have openly discussed a lot of those concerns that you've shared, if that makes any difference.
Thank you.
So I'm going to bring up another thing that is, you just said earlier too, is I do have a problem with the, you have two different, you have an assembly and you have a chamber board, okay? The assembly, and like you say, you're in a lot of meetings, well, so am I, and we have a lot of meetings that people never come to, and we put out stuff, and the chamber sometimes puts things out that does not coincide with what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have, that's another concern of mine, that now we're going to be, as you said, in roommates. How do we, I mean, we're trying to stay separate, but we're also roommates, which is going to be very hard because normally that doesn't work very well when you're separate and roommates. pretty soon someone's going to get mad at each other and they ain't going to be roommates anymore. So that's a concern of mine also is right now you have a city manager that may work well with this whole situation, But what about the next city manager? It doesn't work very well, assuming the situation. I mean, to me, this is just to me. I'm going to make an amendment to the motion that I want a quarterly report from both entities to the assembly.
Second.
All right. So we have a motion. Powell, second to board. Okay. You want to speak more to your motion?
I just want a report from them saying basically they can come and say everything's great and we're not having problems. I just want to be informed. I want this assembly to be formed, not me. Mm-hmm. The assembly to be informed if there is actually an issue. And on any side, if Jeannie comes up to this assembly and says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't think this is working. I don't want everybody to get mad at her. And I don't, if this chamber says the same thing, nobody gets, it just either works or it doesn't. It's black and white to me.
Okay. Assembly Member Robbins?
So a concern I have is that there's a remarkably common misconception among the community that the chamber already is part of the city, and it's a battle that's constantly fought within the chamber. And if we're going to be putting them into a city building with other city employees, that's going to make that even more confusing. There was a lot of drama, I guess, from community members believing that that the chamber is the city, that the chamber is paid by the city, that the chamber gets these benefits, or the chamber spending the city's money, this chamber spending taxpayers' money, which they're not. Obviously, I know this, you guys know this, but I think putting them in the same space is going to really muddle that misconception on a much larger note and potentially bring a lot more drama to city managers table, to these meetings where people think that a decision made by the chamber is endorsed by the city. So that's a major concern that I have. I was asked as the director of the chamber previously if I would be interested in moving into that building, mm-hmm. and I said no. I was interested in collaborating or even moving into the CVB and becoming a single entity, but I was not. It was not an option in my mind to move into a city building as the Wrangell Chamber, where there's already so much confusion and a lack of the community understanding that separation of being two completely different businesses. So, that's my opinion.
Thanks for that comment, Borough Clerk Lane.
Clarification on yes. your amendment. Who did you want their quarterly reports to come from?
I would like them to come from the director of the Nolan Center and the director of the, is that it? Is chamber. She's director? Chamber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Madam Mayor, one thing I just add to the conversation is I'm not worried about any drama necessarily. I guess we got our share of that in Wrangell regardless, but I would look at this almost as a partnership with the schools, right? The schools occupy our buildings. They are responsible for governance of their budget and operations. We can't tell them what to do. We might not align on things perfectly. I mean, it took us, 3 years to get a capital policy adopted tonight? And I think those circumstances will happen. But I do think as long as thematically we're aligned together, we're not stepping on toes on certain initiatives, that's the most important thing to me, and I think we got new leadership. I'd like to take the first step in the right direction, and put our best foot forward with new partners here to do the right thing. And we're gonna have issues, but like the school provides education, the chamber provides promotion of businesses. I know that over the course of the last few years, prior to new leadership at the chamber, there's been concerns on their finances and how well they're promoting businesses. Quite candidly, that's been a concern that I hear a lot. And from what I've seen with this new leadership, that there's some real bright spot in the chamber, and I think some real opportunity. So I want to put our best foot forward and be a good partner and see what we can't get done, because certainly the city doesn't want to take over the 4th of July, and the city doesn't want to be able to promote businesses because we really can't. And so those are valuable things to our community. And
And in the past, we have contributed to the chamber and senior center and KSTK. This budget year is probably not going to continue that. And I believe in the past it was up to $25,000. And so this may represent our contribution, community contribution to the chamber. And I understand with personalities that there could be a conflict, but I'm willing to engage in this partnership and see how it goes. So we have an amendment on the table. Any other comments? Okay, let's vote on the amendment for a quarterly report from the directors of the Nolan Center and the Chamber of Commerce.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Now, voting on the motion as amended. Any other questions on that? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item K, page 612. Resolution number 04-25-1939 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 2025 budget to accept the Thriving Communities sub-award funds.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1939 of the Assembly and City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending FY 25 budget to accept Thriving Communities sub-award funds.
Second.
All right, so motion by Robbins, second by Powell. These funds are, what, $36,595 from a grant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. I think it's rather quick, but yes. I would like to thank Kate for working through this. This has been a multi-month process. Thriving Communities grant that we received and technical assistance has accompanied our RAISE grant in some ways, and PIDP. And so we were authorized for another $40,000 of sub-award expenditures. We chose to, and Kate astutely chose to get our Deepwater Port surveyed. So I actually saw R&M out there this last week, and that's really timely as we begin to consider the sale of the lots or a potential portion of the mill property, get set up for other activities out there, a whole host of activities. So I think it's a right fit.
May I? Yeah, and the mill was purchased in, what, June of 2022?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
So just want to make clear, Thriving Communities is the technical assistance. We were awarded that in the spring of 2023, and the grant performance period ends June of this year. And subaward funding was an opportunity to catalyze some element of development related to the mill property, and we've kind of gone through a couple different iterations of how we would use this fund amount, but we have only a month left in the grant to be able to use it, so we decided more recently to conduct a boundary survey. So it's not a traditional subdivision or platted survey. It will retrace the boundaries, ensure that the monuments are in place and that we actually know where the real lots are that are existing, and it will also do some aerial imagery so that we have basically an as-built image of all the conditions that are existing right now. So it will show you where the buildings are placed, and it will also go into the tidelands and do imagery there so that we can see basically the oceanography and how the contours fall underneath the water and all the submerged items that may be obstructing the waterways there,
or not.
but it is timely. It is not the survey that would be required if we subdivide and sell to Tonsgard, but it will certainly be a tool to inform that survey.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any comments or questions, Assembly? Another moving forward on this. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Last item for this section, item L, page 615, approval of a professional services contract with R&M Engineering in the amount of $36,595 for a boundary survey of the Deepwater Port industrial site.
Move to approve a professional service contract with R&M Engineering in the amount of $36,595 for a boundary survey of the Deepwater Port industrial site.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is just the corresponding budget amendment for, the contract approval for the activities that Kate just mentioned.
And we should expect that survey soon.
May 10th?
Yeah.
May 10th, okay, great. Any comments or questions, Assembly? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
General?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Monk?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Attorney's file is available for the Assembly and executive session to discuss barge service with the borough manager.
I move pursuant to 44.62.310(c)(1) and (2) that we recess in executive session to discuss matters involving transportation, trade, commerce, or shipping, the immediate knowledge of which could clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically to discuss with the borough manager barge service.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. No discussion on this. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Monk?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We will recess at 9:05 and go into executive session at 9:10.